Good evening, Mom. I see you. God bless you.
Good evening. Good evening. It was so good to see you yesterday.
You too, Mom.
Thank you.
Highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan.
Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
It's all over.
It's all over.
Couldn't find no.
Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody great.
Nobody.
Come on, lift those hands for real in here. Come on. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Now lift those hands, singers, and let's just give them the glory. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater than you.
I dare you lift your hand and say that with us tonight. Come on. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Party greater.
Nobody greater.
Party greater than you.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody like you, Jesus. Nobody greater. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
No matter where you look.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everybody. I'm Apostle, a.k.a. Bishop Shalene Cook, your modern-day Shulamite woman, and you are listening to Taking It to the Streets for this January 31st, 2022. Now, we begin every program with a word of prayer, so won't you please bow with me as we go to the Lord. Oh, most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace, praying that I decrease and you increase as I teach this lesson on faith. Father God, I thank you for the beautiful servant leaders that are present. Thank you for Minister Tina and Apostle Zeta. And Father God, I pray that you use us, Lord God, to share a word that will increase somebody's faith, impact their life, Lord, and empower them to live a more abundant life in you right now. And Lord, if somebody doesn't know you at all in the pardon of their sin, it is our fervent prayer that they would come to you and ask you to be their Lord and Savior. It is in Jesus' holy and righteous name I do pray. Amen. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Well, tonight,
amen.
Let's get right down to it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I have a question for us all tonight. Because as I look at the conditions of the world and things that are going on in it, and I'm seeing on Facebook and all forms of social media that we can see Second Chronicles 7:14 being displayed. We are hearing it being preached, but yet we are not seeing the results I feel that we could truly see. So we have talked about prayer, our prayer life, hallelujah, and we will be talking about even more about that throughout the year because Apostle Zeta Flowers is a mighty intercessor, and she is a teacher, hallelujah, on how to have a powerful prayer life. Glory to God. But tonight my question is a question of faith. How deep is your faith? Now, in Romans 12:3, we're told because of the privilege and authority that God has given us, he gives each of us a warning, and he says, we're not to think of ourselves better than we really are. He tells us to be honest and evaluate ourselves and measure ourselves by the faith that God has given us. Because, saints of God, I came to tell you tonight that using the right religious word, oh, Lord, Lord, won't help us build a faith deep enough and strong enough to withstand the storms of life or help those around us stand the storms in their lives. Now, by God's word, he promises to give us wisdom and revelation of what our relationship with him should be, and he gives this to us so we can stand in faith of his calling to receive the joy of the great riches of his inheritance. Hallelujah. Now, although we've been given this great gift, many of God's people today haven't learned how to walk in the authority of his word in all situations, whether it be good or bad. Okay, amen? We just haven't learned how to do it. But instead, in times of trouble, whether the trouble is related to finances, relationships, or careers, or our children, or you know, any number of things or stressors, many Christians find themselves leaning on their own personal understanding and their reasoning rather than relying on God's word. In other words, they allow their personal circumstances to dictate the depth of their faith. Now, if things are going well, oh, honey, they are going to declare that they are blessed and they thank God for being their provider. But let them run into a challenge. Let life become a little bit frustrating. Then their faith begins to fade and their words turn to doubt, despair, and sometimes even unbelief. But my brothers and sisters, I came to remind us all tonight, even in times of the deepest despair, we must always remember that wavering faith will get us absolutely nowhere. We must be willing to stand in steadfast faith in God's word, speaking of it with an authoritative voice over every situation in our life. Our faith needs to rest in the comfort of what Jesus said. He says in Matthew 21:21-22, If you have faith and do not doubt, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, what we need to understand here is that Jesus wasn't talking about easy faith or casual prayer. He was talking about that earthquaking prayer and that kind of faith that holds strong. It holds up against any situation, regardless of how impossible it might be. Jesus was talking to individuals who have faced the trials and the fires of affliction, but they still came to such a place of surrender that his word became, still remained the absolute authority in their lives. Now, does this describe you? Does it describe you in every challenge that you face? Are you someone that you would like to be? The Lord knows our weaknesses and our strengths, and he realizes that we may not be at the exact place that we'd like to be. He realizes that many of his children, like just like you and just like me at times, are not walking in absolute faith. The word of God says in Mark 9:24, but rather than rejecting those who have wavered in their focus, he asks only that you come to him saying, Lord, I believe. My unbelief. Amen. Now, if you found yourself focusing on your troubles instead of his promises, I would advise you to take time right now to begin to rebuild that relationship with him. You know, ask the Lord to put your center and your focus back on what it should be on, him. Now, I'm going to recount right here the story of Abraham. The account of Abraham is of a man known for his infinite faith in God. His story exposes failures like those of all humanity, but he never lost his heart for the Lord. Abraham traveled to a foreign land with foreign people, following a God unfamiliar to these people. He built altars and prayed to the Lord, and he moved about within this land. He spoke to and even walked with God. Hallelujah. Abraham followed God in what ways difficult, even for most of us faithful today. Abraham believed the impossible because he had an active and alive relationship with God the Father. Inside the record of Abraham, though, there is an overlooked story of his nephew, Lot. It appears that Lot, too, understood God. He chose to journey with Abraham to Canaan. He knew of the Garden of Eden. He even recognized the angel that came to Sodom and decided to protect them. But Lot was a tag-along. Wherever Abraham went, Lot followed. You see, his faith was shallow. There is never, never an account in the Bible that you will see Lot praying. He is never said to have built even one altar to God. We have never seen one place in the Bible where we saw Lot call out to God. You see, the riches that Lot acquired were due to Abraham as well. However, Abraham initiated peace between their herdsmen when quarreling began, and they can no longer stay together. Upon separation, Lot was selfish and took the most fertile and beautiful land he saw. On his own, Lot initially lived a superficial life of faith outside of Sodom, but eventually he made his home within the city walls. Now, the account suggests that Lot never taught his family the ways of the Lord. Lot knew God well enough to believe he would destroy Sodom, trying to warn his son-in-law, but they thought he was joking. Yet upon leaving Sodom, Lot hesitated, and the angels had to pull him out along with his wife and daughters. The story is even sadder. Their sin cost Lot's wife her life and his daughters their inheritance from God. In this story, every time God spared Lot's life, it was through Abraham's faith and not his own. So again, I ask you tonight, How deep is your faith? Do you have the conviction of Abraham that can get you through the trials and the solitude that we can sometimes find ourselves in? The assurance in God that can overcome the added test occurring within the pervasive pandemic? You know, solid trust comes from a united effort to build a relationship with God. Are you making time to read the scripture? Now, are you placing that scripture in your heart? You know, instead of mumbling and grumbling and complaining, are you talking to God and letting him know how you feel? Are you letting him know how much you need him? And not just in bad times. We need to keep those lines of communication open in praise and in worship. And when he is, you know, when he's pouring out the blessing, let's praise him. Even in the hard times, let's praise him. Oh, hallelujah, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Good, bad, ugly, I love the Lord because I know the Lord loves me. Hallelujah. Saints of God, we can't let our faith become shallow. We can't let it become superficial like Lot. We have to stand on a firm conviction. We have to walk in authority of God's holy word, and we've got to believe what it says. Faith is not just saying, I believe. Faith is believing and acting upon that belief. When a cloud of darkness overcomes us, we need to understand our help comes from God, and we need to go directly to him in prayer first. He already knows what we need. So he's just waiting to answer the prayer. You need to have some intimacy established with him. For him, in him, and with him, you will find strength. You will find comfort, and you will find peace. Now, let me explain to you five places where the Bible tells us we can find our faith. First of all, our faith comes from hearing. Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, that is hearing the good news about Jesus. The first step is knowing God's word, and a commitment to reading and studying scripture. Hallelujah, write it on the fleshy tables of your heart. When you know God's promises, when you know what is written, it is easy to have your it is written ready when the enemy comes to try to attack you. So our faith comes by hearing. Our faith comes from speaking. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, it is written. I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we all have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Now we all, if we are a child of God, know the importance of evangelism in this world. Now, I need to also tell you that we need to understand that the word of God is a good source of spiritual nourishment for our souls when we speak it aloud or we pray it back to God. God always honors his word. We find our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. And Galatians 2:20 says, the life I live in the body I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we need to remember that the source of faith is from Jesus Christ himself. He set the example on the cross for all of us. He showed us all how to walk in faithful obedience. And then we have to ask, you know, we have to really just ask faith from God. Mark 9:24 says, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. So sometimes, you know, we're going to fail miserably. But we need to go straight to God when we need more faith. We need to ask God for it. And because faith comes from practice, Hebrews 11:1, I know you know what it says. It says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And in 1 John 5:5, he says, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Oh, hallelujah. Now, what better way to perfect our hope and develop it through using, through applying it in our daily lives every day? What better way to show the world Jesus by living his holy word? We need to show the world. We have to show ourselves. And most important, we need to show God our faith in action. So God wants us to evaluate ourselves by how deep and strong our faith is. He doesn't evaluate our spiritual condition by looking at how we appear on the outside, because the depth of our faith determines how much of a difference we can make in the lives of those around us. Like Luke 6 says, our lack of depth deprives us of the ability to withstand whatever storms come our way, and it will also stop us from having the faith to help our friends and family stand strong when they face the storms of life. You can't be a blessing to somebody else if you're doing more complaining and whining than they are. What we need to do, saints of God, is deepen our understanding, because in order for us to deepen our faith, we must be willing to deepen our understanding. We must ask the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. Hallelujah. You know, I'm not, because I'm going to let you know right now, I don't profess to know it all. I'm not Holy Ghost Junior. So I don't care what I'm thinking about, I like to get my insight and knowledge from Scripture. I like to joke and say, the Bible is like ragu. Whatever you need is in there. I don't care if it's your children, your anger, your jealousy, your pettiness, whatever the problem is, the Lord has a word for it. But it doesn't always have to be bad. It doesn't always have to be about sin. It can be about giving, loving, understanding, gaining knowledge, gaining wisdom. See, I love to learn. But I want you to know that just because we study doesn't necessarily mean our faith is automatically deepened. You know, I'm just going to keep it real, because we get some saints, I mean, especially, you know, especially servant leaders, they get that I know everything attitude because it makes them feel important. You know, and they use the word of God to beat people over the head with it instead of building the church up in love. You know, if any man thinks he knows all the answers, then he's really just showing how ignorant he is. He has a lack of information, because it is only the person that truly loves God that's open to God's knowledge. That's found in 1 Corinthians 8. And 3, and what we can learn from 1 Corinthians 8 is, in all our attempts to know everything, we're going to end up missing the point. Now, it's good to learn, and there's always going to be something that we don't know, something that we're not going to know how to handle. See, because, and I'm here to tell you right now, being a know-it-all will not save a failing marriage. It will not comfort a friend who has lost their spouse or lost someone. It won't heal us from physical pain. But we need to be open to God's knowledge by understanding that he knows more than we do. And we have to know, just like it says in Romans 8 and 28, for all things work together for the good. I don't care how it looks. But God is always working it for our good. Deepening our understanding means being humble enough to believe that God knows much more than we do. And he can teach us about ourselves, about him, and about how to help other people. You know what the word of God says in Proverbs 20:5, the purposes of a person's heart are like deep water. But one who has understanding brings them out. Deep understanding helps us make a difference by bringing out the deep parts of our own heart and other people's heart. We stir other people up. You know what I'm saying? We get them stirred up. when we see people in pain, when we see people hurting, we can come along with our testimony. And we can tell them about our faith and how the Lord brought us through. Not in a gloatful way or like we were all that good, because we are not. We're just saying, look, I was humble enough to open my ears to God's knowledge, and so that he could give me understanding, and he could help me to draw out that deep water of my own heart and for those around me. Hallelujah. We also need to really develop some deep convictions. To have deep faith means to have a deep conviction or a belief that there are realities beyond that we can see. Oh, yes, it's beyond our circumstances, our abilities, weaknesses, tragedies, regret, guilt, shame of our past, fears about tomorrow. Oh, it's beyond all of that. See, faith is believing that God is greater than anything we are facing and anything we will ever encounter. Through believing in him and knowing him intimately, we are able to receive and achieve anything we pray for according to his will. That's what it says in Hebrews 11:6. To have deep faith is to believe in the extraordinary. You know? And I've learned that developing deep faith comes from relying on God's power. God's power, not my own. Mm-mm. I don't have no power without Jesus. Jesus told them in John 6:29, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. In this scripture, Jesus tells us that the only work we really need to do is to have faith in him. What I've learned is that if I want to change lives, I need to work not at being more perfect or performing the best or even being more social. The only work I need to do is to work on having a deep conviction about my God and how he works. Because as soon as I begin to focus on anything other than faith in God and Jesus, that is when I know I've stopped working through my faith and on my faith. You see, changing lives isn't about me at all, because I can't change anything on my own. God is the one who does the changing. All I have to do is trust him to do it. Hallelujah. And then we have to uncover some deep emotions. Hallelujah. Psalm 72:2-4 says, my Lord, in my time of trouble, I came to you. I reached out for you all night long. My soul refused to be comforted. I thought about you, God, and tried to tell you how I felt, but I could not. You would not let me sleep. I tried to say something, but I was too upset. That's from the Amplify. But now, I wanted to read it like that because like this psalmist said, sometimes I can't express my emotions. Sometimes things hit me in such a way, I actually need time to process it. You know, sometimes I go to open my mouth and nothing comes out. But I've learned that uncovering deep emotions is actually a very important part of deepening our faith and making a difference in the lives of other people. And if you continue to read Psalm 77, the psalmist expresses fear and doubt about whether God has rejected him or lost the power to help him or still loves him. You know what? You probably know somebody right now, you know, that feel that very same way. I find that fear and doubt often drive us to stop dealing with our emotions, you know. And then we have to stop and ask ourselves, why are we afraid of dealing with them? Ultimately, the inability to deal with our emotions stems from an issue of faith. See, what we're really saying when we do that is we're saying, I don't believe that God is powerful or loving enough to handle my emotions. I don't believe he can make me strong enough to handle them myself or help me share them freely with others. I don't believe that feeling weak will actually lead to God making me strong. Have you ever felt like that? And then when you get on a good roll, I mean, maybe not you, or maybe when they got on a good roll, excuse me, when they got on a real good roll, they was like, why should I even deal with my emotions in the first place? Lord have mercy. They begin to sound like the psalmist in Psalm 6 and 7. There are so many enemies who come against me. You know, that's a defeatist attitude. Isaiah 57, 18 through 19 says, even though I've seen their ways, I will heal them. I will guide them forward and repay them with comfort, giving mourners a language of praise. Hallelujah. I offer peace to those who are far from me, and I offer peace to those who are near, and I will heal their deepest wounds, says Yahweh. Hallelujah. Psalm 6 explains that when we let sorrow fill our hearts, our eyes of faith, they won't focus correctly. See, I believe that when we walk around with sorrow in our heart, it affects the way we see things. If our heart is filled with sorrow, we'll have a difficult time seeing ourselves walking in faith. If we want to have a strong and deep abiding faith in God, then we need to be willing to pour out our pain. We need to pour out that sorrow, pour out that guilt, pour out that shame, whatever emotions are filling up your heart, pour out that pride, whatever it is. Now, it doesn't mean that we as people shouldn't feel emotions, but we got to let all those emotions point us to God. As God expresses in Isaiah 57, he wants to heal our deepest wounds. He wants to heal those parts of us we are too afraid to show or relieve those insecurities that we feel that we define us. But if we let let these emotions go unchecked, then they will steal our faith. And then we might miss out on that healing. We need to take what we feel to God. We need to tell him if we're angry. We need to tell him if we're sad. We need to tell him if we're depressed. We need to tell him. Hallelujah. The word of God says, I waited a long time for the eternal. He finally knelt down to hear me. He listened to my weakened whispered cry. He reached out and drew me from the deep, dark hole where I was stranded, mired in the muck and clay. With a gentle hand, he pulled me out to set me down safely on a warm rock. He held me until I was steady enough to continue the journey again. Hallelujah. God says, I have not kept your righteousness to myself, sealed up in the secret places of my heart. Instead, I boldly tell others how you save and how loyal you are. I haven't been shy to talk about your love, nor have I been afraid to tell your truth before the great assembly of your people. Meanwhile, I'm empty, need so much, but I know the Lord is thinking of me. You are my help. Only you can save me, my true God. Ooh, please hurry. Now you can tell David is extremely vulnerable in this psalm. He acknowledges that he is in the deep dark hole, but trusts that God is the one who can pull him out, because he takes his emotion to God and he lets God help him. David's faith deepens as he sees God pull him through. As God comes through for him time and time again, this allows him to boldly share his faith with God, with a great assembly of people. You see, when we are completely emotionally honest with God, he's going to be, hallelujah, more than loving and generous toward us. Okay? He's going to give us an extra heaping, helping of faith. And then saying to God, we need to cultivate the right relationships. Okay? We need to get ourselves around people that believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that will encourage us, like Jonathan encouraged David. you know. Even though Jonathan's father, and you can read this in 1 Samuel chapter 23, even though Jonathan's father, Saul, was trying to kill trying to kill David, Jonathan loved David. And even while David was on the run, Jonathan went to him and he talked to him and he encouraged him. You see, we need to be around people that's going to help us build up the faith. We need to be around people that's going to, you know, be there through thick and thin, that will be quick to pray us through. Because, saints of God, unbelief has serious consequences. It will make us turn away from God completely if we let it go unchecked. But spiritual friends can encourage us to help us overcome our unbelief by pointing to the scriptures, by praying. Sin is deceitful. It hides. You won't always see it on your own. Other people can help us see sin or unbelief more clearly than we might because we're too close to it. We need to be able to identify our sin so we can repent and turn away from them, because sin hardens. It hardens our heart. It hardens us. After, you know, when we begin to not feel guilty about our sin, then we can no longer dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. We can no longer walk with him. And saints of God, lastly, what I want you to do to deepen your faith is to develop a deep love, first of God and then for the brethren. You know, we need to know. Jesus loved us so much, he was willing to die for us despite of all our flaws, our sins, mistakes, and shortcomings. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, thought we were worth dying for. And he loved us while he lived. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15 teaches me that if I have faith that Jesus loved me so deeply, I will be compelled to love others. In other words, if I want to truly love others, I need to work to have the faith that God has this deep love for me. If I want to truly love others, I have to let this mindset be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. If I want to have the kind of faith that will change my life and change those around me, I have to truly love them enough to pray for them enough, pray for what scripture to share with them, pray for them when they're down and out, pray for them when they're praising God, truly celebrate with them, rejoice with them, hallelujah, let them know that faith, hallelujah, in Christ Jesus is always a good thing. And we need to go deeper in our faith. We can't just walk in the shallow end of the pool when it comes to faith. We need to stretch out. We need to work that faith muscle. We've got to know that we know that we know that we know that God can. Faith is believing. That's simple faith. Deep faith is not only believing, but knowing that God will and he can. Oh, we believe in God, but I believe that he can and he will do exactly what he said he will do. And even if he does not do it, I still believe that he can do it. Because, you see, our God is not a man that he should lie, nor a man that he should repent. Everything God tells us he's going to do, he does. And he does it. If he does it for one, he'll do it for you. If he did it for David, he'll do it for you. If he did it for Isaiah, he'll do it for you. If he did it for Paul, he did it for me. If he did it for John, he will do it for Apostle Zeta. If he did it for Peter, he'll do it for Minister Tanner. Hallelujah. We got to understand. God is the same yesterday, today, forevermore. We got to go deeper with that faith, Evangelist Shirley. We got to know that we know that we know that God is moving, even if it doesn't always look like he's moving. So I pray that tonight you have learned a little more about how to evaluate your faith And so examine yourself, ask yourself the hard questions, and then go to the Lord in prayer, because we want to pray. If we want to see our prayers answered, then once we pray them, must have the faith to believe and receive them. Amen. To God be the glory. Now, if you are in the studio right now and you would like to have a word, ask a question, hallelujah, you are more than welcome to. If you kindly press your 1, that will let me know that you would like to come on in the room. I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. Hallelujah. But in the meantime and in between time, we're going to I always have the servant leaders that are present. I want to give them an opportunity to have a word. So, Minister Tina, won't you come on in the room and give us a little bit, Yola, give us a little something on faith there, darling.
Praise God, praise God. What a beautiful message. Thank you so much for sharing, Apostle Bishop Shirlene. I love every time you speak. Faith to me is pretty much trusting in God, His Son,
yes.
His Word. Even though yes. we may not see Him in the flesh, trusting in Him and knowing that He is working with us on the daily and that He
yes,
has us
good.
Thick and thin, whether it's good or not
mm-hmm.
so good going on in our life. He's going to see us through as long as we walk by faith and in trust in Him. He is there.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
That's good. That's good right there, Minister Peter. That's good. That's good. Imagine Shirley Whitehead,
yes.
you want to come on in the room?
I'm here, dear. I'm here. God
Amen.
Bless everybody.
Come on in the room. Put your praise on it.
Praise God, everybody. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm ever so grateful with God. To God be the glory. If it had not been for God on my side, where would I be? I don't know. But I do know I'm
Come
here.
On,
so since I'm here, I'm going to give Him some praise. I
yeah.
believe and I trust God. When your garbage is filled up, when your spirit is filled with nothing but mess, you want God to release that thing so He can give
Come
you
on.
Some goodness in you that you can go and help somebody and do the will of God. So, God,
yes.
I ask Him every day, empty out my garbage can. Empty out anything that's not of you, Father God.
Come
because
on,
I know
that's
with
good.
You all things are possible. And if I call on your
yes.
name in the time of trouble, Father God, that you are going to deliver and you're going to let
on,
me
sis.
See the goodness and you're going to let me have my peace. You're going to let me have my joy. You're going to let me have some
yes.
understanding. You're going to let
Come
me have
on
some
with
joy.
It, man.
You're going to
teach up in here, girl.
You're going to bring me out of bondage. You're going to renew my mind. You're going to just keep blessing
Come
me.
Come on, sis.
I may bless others in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Go on, Holy Ghost.
Our faith
Amen.
Is with Christ.
Amen.
I can't rely on anything else but God. And as I
you
yet
say
trust
that.
Him, I'm going to see the manifestation of all His goodness and all His blessings.
Yeah.
It's
okay,
nothing
now.
Else. It's nothing else. But Christ.
All right, sis. That was all
and
right
I'm
right
sure
there.
About it. In the name of
I
Jesus.
I know that's right, my beautiful sister. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Apostle Zeta, come on in the room. And I want to publicly thank Apostle Zeta for joining me yesterday at
yes.
His Gospel Christian Fellowship. I had a beautiful time with everybody, and I just want to thank you for coming out. For your support, it means the world to me, and I just love you so much. Thank you. So now,
Thank
come
you.
On in the room
you
and
too.
Have a word.
And it was truly my pleasure to be there.
Amen.
Amen.
God,
Amen.
Be the Lord.
Yes, I was happy to be there. Well, the teaching on tonight is just wonderful, because the more
Thank
we
you.
Hear about faith. The more
yes.
teaching we get on faith,
yes.
the more encouragement concerning
yes.
faith, the better off we are. Because,
yes, ma'am.
You know, we just need to depend on God.
Yes,
I
yes.
mean, that's
yes.
what He wants us to do. He wants us to
yes.
lean and depend upon Him for everything.
Hallelujah.
not just some things, but everything.
Everything.
Because even
yes,
the small things we cannot accomplish without him. And and if we and you know, without faith, the Bible says that we can't even please God. You
That's
know,
right.
And I mean that makes sense. If we can't believe him, how are we gonna
he said,
you know,
receive. If we don't believe, how are we gonna receive?
Amen. And you know, testimonies, you mentioned that. That really helps others to believe because someone may have gone through what you've gone through or I've gone through. And once we share our testimonies, like Sister Whitehead, Evangelist Whitehead, sharing hers, you know, that that really touches people, you know.
Yes.
And they know, well, you know, if God will do it for her, you know, he loves me
too. He'll do it for me.
He'll do it for me as well. And so depending on God's word is a way to continue having a deep faith. And I like what she said about having a deep faith, because if our faith is shallow, it's going to waver. You know, we're going to believe one day and not the next, or believe one hour and not the next, and, you know, and all of that. And we're going to wonder if God is going to answer. And, he wants us in that place with him where we just believe that he will. You know,
move.
No matter what the situation is, because nothing is too hard for him.
That's
right. And so we can depend on him for anything, everything.
That's right.
You know, whatever we need is in him. Because he's everything.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Right. I don't want to go too far.
Now, my brothers and sisters, I had to say the servant leader speak, because I just wanted them to really reiterate some of the high points,
Jesus,
which they all did before I extended the invitation. Because, you see, before you can have, we are saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, the first thing
you
got to do is say to yourself, I believe. I believe. And then you go to him and you say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Confess your sin to him. Whatever the sin is, let him know that you're turning your life over to him. Ask him to come into your life and pull you up out of the miry muck. Ask him to come into your life and rescue you. And then ask him to show you how to teach you how to live for him, teach you how to love him, teach you how to serve him so that you can serve your brothers and sisters. And look, let me tell you something. Just because you say that prayer, do not think that you're going to snap your fingers and all of a sudden you're going to be saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled. It is a process. You're going to have to do the work. That means you're going to have to study to show yourself approved. You're going to have to go to the Holy Spirit, go to God and say, God, I need you to teach me. Give me knowledge, understanding, and wisdom of your word so I can keep your commandments. So I can do what you want me to do, the way you want me to do it. Okay? You have to pray. Learn that word so you can pray according to his word. Pray his word back to him.
Amen.
Because his word never goes out or comes back void. His word always does what it's supposed to do.
Amen.
So you have to do the work. But most importantly, you have to surrender. See, it's like all my sister said. Even though you can't see Jesus, you got to really believe that he's doing a work in you. You got to believe that it's possible for you to change. You've got to believe that he has the power to raise you up. He can turn your weeping into joy. He can turn your chaos into peace. You've got to believe. So that you might receive it.
Yes, Lord.
So I just pray, if you said that prayer, We just want all of us, on behalf of all of us, we want to welcome you to the family of God. We pray that you find a Christ-centered Bible teaching church. And I know we're in a pandemic, but look here, that you know what? You can actually find more churches now than you. You don't have any excuse not to go to church. You can go on YouTube, live stream, blog talk. There's so you Zoom. Oh, there's all kind of ways you can go to church. So you have no excuse.
Yeah.
Find you a church. Get busy. Because you know what? Yes, we're in a pandemic, but our God is greater than COVID.
Yeah,
okay.
Man.
We stand on the promises of God, just like Abraham. God said 10,000 men can fall on our right and 10,000 on our left, but ain't nothing going to touch our tent. I believe him.
Come on now.
When God says, hallelujah, if I be for you, what can man do to me?
Nothing.
I believe him.
Nothing.
When God says, I am more than a conqueror.
Come on.
I believe him. When God says I'm the head and not the tail,
come on.
I believe him. What are you believing God for?
Jesus.
Do you have that faith of a mustard seed that if you tell a mountain to move, it's going to move? See, you have to believe and never doubt.
Come on.
You know, and you need to believe, go to God and believe him first. See, too many of us want to believe everybody else's report.
But you better believe
God. Then we want to think about what God said. But we have to trust and believe what God says first. So ask yourself on the daily, how deep is my faith?
Yeah.
How much do I trust God really? How much do I truly believe that he can and he will do exactly what he says he's going to do? Now, Father God, we, as my sisters and I, just come in the righteous and holy name of Jesus once again.
Yeah.
I just want to thank you for this lesson, Lord God. I want to thank you for the wonderful comments from each one of the servant leaders, Father God. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that your people will receive this lesson on faith, Lord, that they will apply it to their daily lives, Lord, and that they will be strengthened and encouraged and uplifted, Lord, so that they can have even more access to who you are and understanding to who you are and who we are in you. So, Lord, we just give you the honor and the glory and the praise. We just praise your holy name in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, you have been listening to Taking It to the Street. And I am Bishop Shalene Cook, and I just want to do what we're going to be. I want to make a special announcement, because on this Wednesday, our very own Apostle Zeta will be having All Nations Christian Fellowship's Wednesday night Bible study. I know she's going to bring it. So it is going to air at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So get ready, because we have a new Bible study in town, and a new host is going to be thrown down in Jesus' name in the persons of our very own, hallelujah, Mother Apostle Zeta Flowers. This has been Bishop Shalene Cook, Minister Tina Brown, Evangelist Shirley Whitehead, and Apostle Zeta Flowers, right here at Taking It to the Streets. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and it is our fervent prayer from our household to yours, that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network.
Amen.
Good night, my beautiful sisters. You were wonderful.
Good night.
Amen. Love you.
God bless you all.